This is Ozarks at Large. Last week, former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee, a one-time presidential candidate, was in Little Rock to speak to the Central Arkansas Political Animals Club. It's a group of politicos. The former governor, now a national radio and TV talk show host, shared his opinion on the state of politics and the potential second run for president with Roby Brock from our content partner, Talk Business Arkansas.
You said recently that you thought that the Republicans at the national level basically made a stupid tactical blunder in this whole debt ceiling, federal government shutdown debate. Do you think that we're going to relive all of this once again in January and February when these debates come back to the forefront again?
You know, I hope not. I hope maybe somebody learned something from it all. One of the tragedies of that for the Republicans was that the center of the stage, October 1st, should have and would have been exclusively about Obamacare. That's what it should have been about how rocky the launch was and how flawed the assumptions were about the financials to make it work. I think it would have been a tough year for the Democrats in 2014 trying to defend Obamacare with more people losing insurance than getting it. And that could have been the referendum that the Republicans could have ridden all the way through the 14 elections. They took the noose from around the Democrats' necks and they turned it into a rescue rope and pulled them out of the hole and said, oh, let's not talk about Obamacare. Let's make shutdown the focus. And in that situation, they should have known that it doesn't matter whether it was their fault. It really wasn't technically their fault. It was as much Obama who refused to negotiate anything and was very obstinate about that. But the point is, the press is going to give the Republicans most of the blame for it, which they did, as did the public. And 74% of Americans, you know, after that whole process, thought the Republicans were responsible and had an unfavorable view of them. That you don't do things like that if you're trying to win elections.
So do we relive that debate again in January and February when the debt ceiling and the budget come to the forefront again?
You know, we could. And I think one thing that's got to happen is Republicans need to be more circumspect. And, you know, this is not a time to go just throw grenades at the president. This is a time to, in essence, force his leadership. You don't do that by raising the rhetoric. You do it by basically being quiet and saying, Mr. President, we want to have a financial responsibility. Present something to us. You know, make him defend his position. Make him defend his no negotiation posture. What they did, that they created the argument about themselves. It was, a tactical blunder. If you have the ball, the worst thing you want to do is hand it to your opponent, put him in a position to score. You want to be on offense and make them play defense, and that's exactly not what we did. I hope they learned from it. It's the president's responsibility, just as it would be a governor's responsibility, to set the table, put the menu out, and then, you know, you're not going to get it all like you want, but you've got to start the discussion. And this president has been one that doesn't want to start it. He just wants to stop it by saying, I'll give nothing. You can't do that.
I also asked Governor Huckabee about the splits we're seeing in the Republican Party at the national level, and here's what he had to say.
I think right now it's pretty big, and this tragedy is that you have a lot of competing interests, all who say they want the same thing, which is a Republican majority, but you don't get a Republican majority by making it easier for the Democrats to win. I mean, to me, this is not real complicated. If you want to beat Democrats, you spend money to defeat them, not to try to defeat Republicans who may not be perfect, but they're going to be closer to your point of view than any of the Democrats you're going to be spending money on. And that just is, I think a lot of it is the naivete of people who may not understand that politics is a process, it's not an event. You know, I wish it was an event. It'd be real easy then. You just make it all happen on one day and bang, you're done. But people who succeed in politics look at it as a long-term process, not as a short-term event. And the impatience and the petulance of people who just want to go out and, quote, take a stand, throw the grenade, thinking that that's all there is to it. You know, I've got a bass boat. I can turn that bass boat in the Arkansas River in just a few feet of water. I can, you know, throttle that thing down, crank the wheel, and it'll dig in and it'll turn almost on a dime. You take one of these big barges out in the Arkansas River that's got, you know, it's being pushed by maybe a big tow boat, and it's got four or five long barges. You want to turn that around? you got to be planning miles and miles ahead, and you got to find a wide spot in the river if you're going to turn that thing around. And I think sometimes we look at politics and think it's a bass boat. It's a whole bunch of barges strung together, and that's the only way you turn it around.
Too much purity, not enough compromise?
Yeah, I mean, in a lot of ways, purity is a great thing for the campaign. You can be absolutely pure when you campaign. By the way, you can be absolutely pure when you do a talk show. You know, when I do radio or television, I'm a purist. You know, I don't have to be pragmatic. You know, I can take a stand. I never have to be responsible for the consequences. I can be extremely ideological. I can be smug about it. That's easy. When you're in office, then you have to understand that unless you own all the moving parts, you better be prepared to give and take. You better be prepared to also build relationships and understand that if you don't win everything today, that's okay. Just make sure that you live to fight another day. Make sure that you don't burn so many relationships and bridges that the person who is adamantly opposed to you on a bill today may be your partner in one next week.
The political landscape in Arkansas has changed dramatically since Mike Huckabee was the state's governor. At nearly every level, Republicans have seen some sort of dominance, a major switch from years past at the local to the state to the federal level. I asked Governor Huckabee why he thinks that wasn't the case when he was in office.
There are a lot of reasons. I mean, we saw a lot of the beginnings. When I first went into office, we had 11 Republicans in the House. We ended up with 30. We had 4 in the Senate. We had 8 by the time I left. You know, those were gains. But what was really happening, we started seeing the building grounds on, I think, the local level. That's where it really happens. Quorum courts, city councils, people running for sheriff. The groundswell, I think, happened when the National Democratic Party made such a sharp left turn and left so many Arkansas Democrats behind. You know, the traditional Arkansas Democrat is not a hardcore liberal. One of the reasons I was able to work with a lot of people in the legislature, they were Democrats, but they weren't Nancy Pelosi, they weren't Harry Reid, they weren't Chuck Schumer, they weren't Dick Durbin. You know, they were more like the old Sam Nunn kind of Democrat. And that's a very different kind of Democrat than Barack Obama and Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. And I think, you know, Barack Obama singularly did more to recruit numbers for the Republican Party in Arkansas than any Republican ever could. And let me be very adamant about this. It had nothing to do with his race. That's nonsense.
You don't think that even had anything to do with it at all?
Maybe for the most minute numbers of people, but you know, the truth is, I celebrated the fact that an African American was elected president. I thought that was a great moment for America, not a great moment for Republicans. And I said so publicly immediately after the election. So, you know, I'm on record as saying this is a great step forward for the country in terms of race relations. But then I've looked over the past 4 years and so many people have said, oh, it's all about race, it's all about race. Well, you know what? If it is, then that's really an insult to Barack Obama. That's an insult to say that he really wasn't elected president because he campaigned with an effective dream. He was just elected because of his race. That's his racism, as much racism as it is to say that people are opposed to him because of racism. They're opposed to him because he spends money we don't have, he borrows money we can't afford to pay back, he's been utterly disingenuous about so many of the aspects of his administration, saying he's going to be transparent, open, accountable. And we've seen none of the above. We don't have answers on Fast and Furious, on Benghazi, why the IRS. He's always going to get to the bottom of something. We never get to the top. The debacle with Obamacare, that's why people are opposed to him. It's not his color.
2016, you floated the possibility that you have been talked to. You are considering a potential run for president once again. Give me the definitive statement. Where are you today in that decision process?
Well, there's not a definitive statement. The definitive statement is, you know, that I haven't ruled anything out, but I've not made a decision. You know, I'm talking to people around the country. I'm kind of weighing what the options are. May not be a good time for me, you know, and I recognize that my time may have passed, or maybe the environment is such that for what I consider to be a hardcore conservative, but who's pragmatic, maybe there's no room for me. I understand that, but maybe there is. Maybe there will be a hunger for somebody who believes that the ultimate art of governing is about maintaining your own philosophical consistency, but recognizing that to get there, you still have to govern within the context of the numbers that exist, and you have to work with people who don't agree with you, and that's part of the art of it. Frankly, it's the most difficult part. It's also the most rewarding and fulfilling part. It's when you can see something accomplished that you realize, it's not exactly the way I wanted it, but it got done, and something improved, something changed, whether it's an education initiative, a highway initiative, and I'm thinking of those at the state level, but even at the national level, if there's something that you can visualize getting accomplished and look back on it and know that, you know, you were able to persuade not just the American people, but people on the other side of the political fence to join with you in that effort. I think that's what the founders intended. They never expected that anyone would get everything they wanted. In fact, they designed the system, intentionally designed the system, so nobody could become that powerful and get everything they wanted.
Former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee, now the host of his own national television and radio talk show, was in Arkansas last week, and that's when he talked with Roby Brock from our content partner, Talk Business Arkansas. Support for Talk Business Arkansas on Ozarks at Large is provided by Mitchell Williams Law, providing strategic counsel on a variety of sophisticated legal matters since 1954. Mitchell Williams Law Firm combines decades of diverse professional experience to clients across the U.S. Today, the firm employs nearly 80 attorneys from four offices in Arkansas, Texas, and New York. Online at MitchellWilliamsLaw.com. And Bank of the Ozarks, committed to helping business owners succeed by combining the tools and services businesses need with accessible experience and knowledge. More information at BankOzarks.com. And Verizon, offering a wide selection of productivity-enhancing tablets for small business, including the Apple iPad. More information at a Verizon communication store near you or online at vzw.com/smallbusiness. And CEG Partners, using empirical data to better understand your customers' experiences and their loyalties. More information at cegpartners.com.